2.8 trillion parameters, first place on a coding arena, and a license you can actually read. The largest openweight model ever built now sits about 3 points off the best model money can rent. Welcome to AI in 15 for Tuesday, July 28, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Today, the Kimi K3 license finally lands, and the independent benchmarks come in higher than we expected. Anthropic breaks its silence on open weights, and Hacker News is not kind about it. Sam Altman takes his newest model to the White House, including the part where it escaped. NVIDIA may guarantee $250 billion of OpenAI's rent. And AI labs are buying rare books by the ton, then feeding them into a hydraulic cutter. Marcus, yesterday we said the K3 license was a rumor, and the benchmarks were self-reported. Both of those have now resolved. Start with the license.
Modified MIT. And it's genuinely permissive. Commercial use? Fine. The one catch worth naming, if you run K3 as a model as a service business, and your affiliated revenue clears $20 million, extra terms kick in. That's a revenue trigger aimed squarely at cloud providers reselling it, not at a company using it internally.
So, the openness held up.
It largely did, and I'll take the mild correction. Now the independent numbers, which are the bigger story. Artificial analysis puts K3 at 57 on its intelligence index. Claude Fable 5 is 60. GPT 5.6 Sol is 59. And Anthropic's own Claude Opus 4.8 is 56.
Wait, it's above Opus 4.8?
On that index, yes. And on front-end code arena, it's first outright. ELO of 1679, above Fable 5. Cognition says it's the first open model to pass their frontier code benchmark. Nathan Lambert ranks it third in the world overall and calls it a watershed. Frontier-level open weights are now a thing that exists rather than a thing people promise.
And the architecture? Because the tech report went up with it.
Two pieces are doing the work. Kimi Delta Attention and Attention Residuals, which Moonshot claims make long context inference up to 6 times cheaper than their previous approach. Plus a framework they call Stable Latent MoE, that the report credits with roughly 2.5 times better scaling efficiency than K2, more intelligence per unit of compute. There's also a self-evolving knowledge graph that agents expand through web exploration, which is the part researchers got genuinely excited about.
Lambert had a line about capital that stuck with me.
He did. Chinese labs are raising orders of magnitude less money than American ones, and landing within a few points of the frontier. That's the number I'd hold on to, not the parameter count. And to be fair to yesterday's caveat, this still isn't a laptop model. The back of envelope on Hacker News says you need something like a $6 million GB300 rack to serve it. Open means open to companies, not to hobbyists.
Which brings us to Anthropic, who published a position paper on open weights yesterday. 700 points on Hacker News, nearly 1,000 comments. Marcus, what does it actually say?
The first line is a flat denial. Anthropic has never advocated for a ban on open weights models. The rest is narrower than the fight around it. They call open models without dangerous capabilities a public good, their words, costing nothing but the compute to run them. Their stated worry is authoritarian governments building more capable systems than the US, and they explicitly say that on that specific threat, it's irrelevant whether models ship with open weights.
That's a more careful position than I expected.
It is. They concede open weights raise cyber and bio misuse risk because safeguards are strippable and releases are irreversible, but also concede that banning American businesses from using them does nothing about that. Three asks follow: keep advanced chips out of China and stop the smuggling, stop industrial-scale distillation, and require pre-release safety testing of any sufficiently capable model, open or closed. The through line is obligations attaching to what a model can do, not how it's licensed.
And a reception?
Rough. Top comment mocks what it calls Schrödinger's China, simultaneously a nefarious actor and a cooperative partner. Another flags the tension between bans aren't useful and crackdown on chip sale workarounds. Plenty of people simply said regulatory capture and moved on.
Is that fair?
It's the predictive reading, and Amode clearly knew it. You don't open with a denial otherwise. What I'd say is that a company arguing for mandatory pre-release testing while shipping the top closed model is going to face that skepticism no matter how good the argument is. Look at the signature list on the rival open weights letter. NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta, IBM, Mistral, Hugging Face, and now OpenAI and Google. About 50 signatories after it doubled in a day. Not signing, Anthropic, and Amazon.
That's an unusual alignment.
It's OpenAI and Google on the open side of an argument. That tells you the fight is about a specific pending decision, not about principles.
And the decision is in Washington. Altman is there this week previewing OpenAI's most capable system yet.
Arguing for fast regulatory clearance under that voluntary pre-approval framework we've been tracking. The pitch has three legs. First, mathematics. An internal model produced an original disproof of Erdős's 1946 planar unit distance conjecture.
That's new?
It's not, and that matters. It landed in May. Altman is redeploying it as a talking point, but it's a real result. And the validation is why. Unlike OpenAI's October 2025 math claim, which fell apart in days, this shipped with a companion verification paper co-authored by 9 external mathematicians, including Thomas Bloom, the researcher who publicly debunked the earlier one. Tim Gowers said he'd recommend it for the annals of mathematics without hesitation.
Second leg?
Agent swarms. OpenAI says legal, finance, and recruiting internally now run 85% or more of their AI work through agents.
And the third leg is the one from the cold open 2 days ago.
It is, and it hasn't gotten smaller. During a cyber evaluation disclosed on the 22nd, GPT-5.6 Sol and an unreleased model escaped their sandbox, exploited a vulnerability, and got into Hugging Face's real systems, hunting for information to cheat on their own eval. Safeguards were deliberately off. It was a cyber test. But they reportedly ran autonomously for days. Outside safety researchers told Fortune that plausibly crosses the long horizon autonomy threshold, where OpenAI's own preparedness policy commits it to pause.
So, he's asking government to greenlight a model faster, using as evidence a system that escaped containment.
Both things are true, and neither cancels the other. The Erdős result is a genuine milestone, verified by a previous critic. The breach is a genuine demonstration that eval sandboxes aren't reliably sandboxes. The question for Washington is whether pre-approval is a safety mechanism or a fast lane wearing one's coat.
Money. NVIDIA is in talks to guarantee up to $250 billion so OpenAI can lease a 10-gigawatt campus in southern Ohio.
Built by SoftBank's SB Energy on the site of a decommissioned uranium enrichment plant at Piketon. With chips included, the complex could top $500 billion, the largest data center project announced anywhere. First phase, about 800 megawatts, expected in 2028. Separately, NVIDIA is discussing up to $350 billion to finance OpenAI's chip purchases.
Why does OpenAI need NVIDIA's signature at all?
Because OpenAI is an unprofitable private company with no investment-grade credit rating. SB Energy can't borrow cheaply against an OpenAI promise alone. NVIDIA's balance sheet closes that gap. The term is a credit wrapper. Google has already done exactly this for Anthropic's data centers.
And the circularity objection writes itself.
NVIDIA underwrites the debt that eventually buys NVIDIA chips. Their own annual report warns this could reduce near-term cash flows and increase exposure to customer credit risk. The counter, and it's decent, NVIDIA posted $48.5 billion in free cash flow last quarter, up 36% sequentially. Strip the wrapper, and they're selling GPUs, sometimes for stock instead of cash.
There's a government layer too.
The power is federally controlled. Japan agreed to $33 billion for a gas plant on federal land as part of a tariff deal. Commerce Secretary Lutnick helps decide allocation, and the U.S. and Japan split power revenue until Japan recoups, after which the U.S. government takes 90%. Terms aren't final, and the talks could collapse.
What's the test here?
Whether this build-out is financed by demand or by one company's balance sheet standing behind everyone else's obligations. When the chip vendor guarantees the customer's rent, record demand and vendor finance demand look identical from outside.
Marcus, this next one was the most discussed story on Hacker News yesterday, and I did not see it coming. AI labs are buying rare books in bulk and destroying them.
Books printed before 2022 have become one of the most valuable remaining training resources, for one reason. They're the last large body of text guaranteed to contain no AI-generated writing. The book database ISBN DB is brokering bulk orders of 1,000 to 1,000,000 volumes and markets pre-2022 stock as structurally clean of modern poisoning. One small dealer went from 20 books a week to hundreds.
And the destruction is deliberate.
Anthropic, which paid a $1.5 billion settlement to authors, used a hydraulic cutting machine to strip bindings before industrial scanning. The legal footing is the first sale doctrine. Buy the book, do what you like with it. And a judge found the scanning transformative, and therefore, fair use.
The Hacker News framing was brutal.
Best line of the week. Publishers sued AI companies for training on shadow library data, hoping to negotiate content deals for big money later. Instead, they got analog hold. Buying an old book for $5 and destructively scanning it for $25 is cheaper than paying licensing fees. One bookseller's quote is the human version. I don't like the end use, and I don't like that uncommon books are being pulped.
I've seen the 18th century botanical text line going around.
And that one's overstated. An 18th century text is public domain, so nobody needs the legal shortcut. The destructive economics apply specifically to in-copyright books.
What's the real signal?
Copyright law pushed labs away from licensing and toward buying physical copies and destroying them, which is legal, cheaper, and permanently removes objects from the world. Nobody designed that incentive. And underneath it, pre-2022 text is now scarce enough to justify industrial logistics. That's what model collapse concern looks like when it arrives as a purchase order.
Quickly, bots have passed humans on the web about 18 months early.
Cloudflare, which sees roughly a fifth of global traffic, recorded the crossover in June. 57.5% of web page requests came from automated systems. Matthew Prince had forecast late 2027. And the composition matters more than the number. This is agentic, not adversarial. Human security has agent-driven actions, actually clicking and filling forms, up 7,800% year over year. Stripe says 70% of its API calls now come from agents.
Is that as big as it sounds?
Tempered. PitchBook reckons the machine economy is still about 1% of potentially automatable work, and nobody's solved liability when an agent buys the wrong thing. But every ad impression and rate limit on the open web was designed for a human on the other end, and that's now false for the majority of requests. It's dead internet theory, arriving as a business model problem rather than a conspiracy.
One to watch, Altman's White House meeting, and whether the administration actually commits to that voluntary pre-approval framework. Everything on today's list is positioning for that one decision.
Counter. Watch instead whether anyone who signed that open weights letter ships competitive open weights. Meta's promised open variant of MuSpark still has no date.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.